Welcome to Benefit from the Bible teaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. For a printed copy of this sermon and many others, go to BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. God bless your listening. Please join me in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, you are the giver of every good gift. You've given us the greatest gift, in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to also see that every other good thing that we have has come from you to us, not that we have deserved such things, but you have given them because you are our Heavenly Father, because you love us with an everlasting love, and because you are there to provide us with all that we need. Bless us now as we hear your word, and help us to respond with joy as we seek to honor you in all our ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, we find ourselves in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 today, and today's text, it focuses on Paul and Timothy working together, and they are encouraging the Corinthians to complete a special collection that had begun earlier for the poor believers who were living in Jerusalem. So you can only imagine in Jerusalem, the persecution was great, they were poor, they were in need of help. If we go to the end of 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, on the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come." So he was trying to get them to get into this regular pattern of on the first day of every week, that would be Sunday, on the first day of every week, set something aside. And this particular setting aside here is not talking about what we receive on Sundays for the work of God's kingdom in connection with our congregation. This was talking about setting something aside every Sunday so that this money could then be gathered and be given to those poor believers in Jerusalem. That's really the focus here today. But in Corinth, though, even though Paul had told them about this reality, the collection wasn't going well in Corinth. So really what Paul is doing in this section is he is writing to them, reminding them of what he encouraged them to do, and then giving them some additional encouragement in this little section we're going to focus on today. So in part one, Paul shows the Corinthians a powerful example of what was going on with some other churches over in the area of Macedonia. So that would be congregations like those in Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. So there was a certain situation with those particular congregations, kind of a startling situation, and yet they were giving in a marvelous way. So Paul is going to set this up before the Corinthians to say, hey, look at those guys over in Macedonia. You should think about that in regard to what you're doing to support the poor believers living in Jerusalem. So with that set up like that, let's take a look now at the first part. Going to verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Bible says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part." So I want you to see this very unusual combination of factors that we have. So you have a little fill-in-the-blank section there in your service folder. Maybe you see if you can fill in those four words. So their persecution was severe. Their joy in Christ was abundant. Their poverty was extreme. Their giving was generous. So let's go back and look at it now. So though their persecution was severe, their joy in Christ was abundant. Well, wait a minute now. such strong persecution, you would think you would lose your joy, but actually, in the midst of persecution, that's when our joy will even increase more, because when times are really tough, we don't have much to rejoice in this life, but we still have Jesus Christ to rejoice in, knowing that we have Him, knowing that we are forgiven, knowing that we always won't be in that persecution, knowing that someday we're going to go on to heaven because of Jesus Christ. So actually, when persecution gets greater, our joy in Christ should also become greater. That's what was happening in those congregations in Macedonia. And then notice the second combination here. Their poverty was extreme, and yet their giving was generous. Such an unusual thing. You would think if they had an abundance, then their giving would be generous. But actually, they were in such extreme poverty, but yet they were giving so generously, so unexpected in a sense. We might tend to view the Macedonian believers as the exception, but Dr. Kretzmann wrote, "For Christians to help each other is not an evidence of unusual generosity, but it is the work of God's grace." So we're not so much patting those in Macedonia on the back saying, "Great job, guys," but rather we are saying the grace of God, that is what was powerfully at work in the Macedonians. That is what moved them to be in this situation of great generosity, even in the midst of their extreme poverty. So think about it like this. By God's grace, He saved us sinners. So God's grace coming from Him to us, that was something that was undeserved. So God is loving us though we do not deserve it, and by that love, He saved us. So by God's grace, now that we have received God's grace, by God's grace, we are moved to powerful acts of love toward others. So we are to love others not because they are lovable. We are to love others because we have received the love of God in Jesus Christ. The Macedonians, they understood this reality. Notice as we go on in the text, we're going to see that more right here. Going to verse 3, the Bible says, "For they," talking about those in Macedonia, "they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints, and this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace." So a number of key things there. But let's focus on the fact that first they gave themselves to the Lord. Makes me think about Matthew 6:33, where Jesus said, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." There's a lot of things in the Bible that call us to put God first. So here, first they gave themselves to the Lord. And then in the words of Dr. Kretzmann, here's what it meant to give themselves to the Lord. They offered to the Lord their talents, their energies, their abilities, and their worldly possessions. They placed themselves and all they had without any restriction at the Lord's disposal. They understood that life itself came from God the Father through Jesus Christ to them. Eternal life came from God the Father through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit through holy baptism to them. They understood that all they had in life itself, all they had in their possessions, all they had in eternity, it was all wrapped up in the blessings of God. So because everything came from God, it was easy to say, "God, here I am at your disposal. All I am, all I have, it's all yours. You show me how to be your person, how to do your will." That was their first step. And then, second, they did the will of the Lord. So it's always first the relationship with God, and then second, flowing from that relationship is now we have a desire to want to know and do whatever he wants us to do. Dr. Kretzmann wrote that it is all too often in our days, keep in mind he's writing 100 years ago, all too often in our days that Christians must be begged and entreated and urged and admonished and coaxed to give of their abundance. But here, the case was just the opposite. In other words, among the Macedonians, that wasn't the case. We want people to be so overflowing with joy for their Lord Jesus Christ that they are simply seeking to know and follow whatever God says in every area of their lives. My prayer for us would be that we would be more like those believers in Macedonia. They had a wonderful situation, shining the light of Christ in a powerful way. May God help us do the same. And then in the second part, Paul encourages the Corinthians to excel in everything. So I make the statement here in letter A. I say, Christian living is not like eating at a buffet. What do I mean by that? You're going to see here in just a moment. Notice what it says. But as you excel in everything, in faith, thus living for Christ, in speech, thus speaking for Christ, in knowledge, thus growing in Christ, in all earnestness, thus being enthusiastic for Christ, and in the love we inspired in you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. In other words, in giving generously to help the poor. So the Corinthians, they were doing many wonderful Christian things in their lives. But Paul is saying, hey, don't forget about excelling in this particular way too. I'm trying to go to the buffet idea now. You might have 25 different kinds of food that you could choose. So what do? You kind of go down the row there, and things that you like, you put on your plate. Things that you don't like, you pass by. Well, that's fine for a buffet, but that should not be true of our lives in Christ. Paul commended the Corinthians for excelling in many wonderful ways, but he didn't stop there. He called them to excel also in this act of grace. So he was saying, hey guys, good job in all these ways over here, but you're leaving some things out. Don't forget about that too. So again, our Christian lives are not to be like a buffet to pick and choose. God is saying, hey, here's the whole thing. Jesus Christ, he went all the way for us. God wants us to be all in for him. So wherever we have passed over God's will in our lives, wherever we have seen God's will, we've read it and it says such and such, and then we have responded with the word but. When we say but, that is canceling out God's will. That's not a good thing. So again, wherever we have passed over God's will or responded with a but, God is calling us to change. God is calling us to repent. God wants us to know that in Jesus Christ we are forgiven. That should give us great joy. All the past sins, they are forgiven. He wants us to rejoice in that, and he wants us to go forward now to honor him in all our ways. And then in letter B, I say, let us prove our love with our actions. So going to verse 8, Paul wrote, I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. So it's easy for us to say to the Lord, I trust you, I love you. But let's understand that trust and love will show themselves in action. Those who trust and love when it comes to God, those are people who desire to know and practice whatever his will is. Is that true of your life? If you can say it is, I would commend you. That's excellent. If it's not true, God wants us to make a comparison. This is what his word says. This is how my life is. He wants us to make these comparisons. Wherever it isn't true, again, he wants us to know that we are forgiven, but also he's calling us to change. He's calling us to line ourselves up with his holy word. And then proper motivation. This is really the biggest motivation of all in this text. We come to the final verse of our text, verse 9, and Paul wrote, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." So I put it this way, the Son of God willingly went from heavenly riches to earthly rags, so that we, through him, might be delivered from our earthly rags to God's heavenly riches. Now, when I say that, we're not talking about the kind of clothes we wear. We're not talking about the stuff we have. We're talking about eternal riches, riches that are far, far greater than anything we can see. So don't get the idea we're talking about what we can see, or we might say, hey, I'm rich already, even without Christ. That's not the idea. God's talking about riches that are eternal, that are things that are priceless in every way. Well, imagine if this conversation took place between God the Father and God the Son up in heaven. We're going to listen in on this conversation. It's a discussion between the Father and the Son regarding our salvation. "Son, I want you to leave your magnificent home here in heaven and go to earth. But Father, I like it here." "Son, if you do not go, all people on earth will be lost. But Father, most people on earth don't even want to be found. Son, I want you to receive their sins and pay their penalty. But Father, that is not fair to me. They sinned, so they should have to pay their own penalty." Was that the conversation that took place in heaven as the Father was trying to encourage the Son to come down and to take our place? Let us give eternal praise to God that that conversation never took place. Instead, the Father planned it all out. The Son, he perfectly obeyed, willingly obeyed all that the Father had planned, and now the gift of heaven is freely being offered to everyone through the finished work of Jesus Christ. As we should be so thankful that Jesus did not say, "but," so it is best when we do not say "but" in response to his will for our lives. Therefore, forgiven in Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit, let us strive to emulate the great example and to follow in the footsteps of our great Lord Jesus Christ in everything. And all God's people said, Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, give us a try at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma, Ohio. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, study at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. These are other ways to connect with us. Visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. Subscribe to our podcast by searching for Benefit from the Bible. Visit us on Facebook by searching for Bethlehem Lutheran Church Parma. Call us at 440-845-2230. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.